Hey, Mama Bears! We are Leslie and Tessie, the hosts of the Mama Bear Dares podcast, and we are so excited to meet back here today. Tessie and I had a hunch a while ago that a Mama Bear revolution needed to happen. We wanted to connect with moms who are doing amazing things with their lives on top of being great mothers. So here we are a couple months into the podcast, and we are just thrilled to be here, and we are thrilled to hear the stories and to encourage you to all harness the power of your Mama Bear and live a life of love. Right, Tessie?
That was so good! I'm so proud of you. That was first shot. Mama Bears, we thought, you know, when we listened back to our podcast, we were so proud of ourselves for kind of not relying on some of our crutches that we relied on in the first couple episodes, but we realized that the introduction was one of those areas that still felt a little too canned for the two of us. So we thought, let's just ad-lib it. And Leslie did it, and I'm sure you'll agree with me that that was the best yet.
Well, thank you. That was pretty fun. We have more exciting news, though, right?
We do.
Not only did we ad-lib our introduction,
like a boss,
but we have an Amazon banner ad on our website.
What?
So I feel like we're kind of official now.
Yeah.
If you want to support the Mama Bear Dares podcast, you don't have to donate, although we wouldn't turn it away.
No.
But if you want to just go shopping on Amazon, if you click on the link on our website and then do your shopping, it doesn't cost you anything, but it does kick loose some extra change that will come back to us so that the Mama Bear Dares podcast can reach a few more moms. So, Tessie, what's in your Amazon cart right now? Anything special?
Well, I would say probably roughly 240 books and
really?
Some facial razors because I have that German stock in my jeans.
Of course, you have facial razors.
What about you?
Such a lady. you know, in my Amazon cart.
Right? That's how a lady pronounces Amazon.
I don't know what it's actually called, but it's a gadget that it's a gadget that you can put in your coffee. So you plug it in the wall. And you put it in your coffee and it like heats your coffee up or heats your hot water up. And so I'm planning on purchasing
it. Let's put a link to that because I feel like that's key for mama bears, especially coming off of spring break where like my coffee got cold numerous times throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
That's key. So let's link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, I think it'll be great. I'm actually looking at it because I have a trip to Tanzania coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And because I am a spoiled Westerner, I feel coffee insecure when I have to travel. And so my plan is to take the instant, the Via packs from Starbucks.
Oh, right.
And so even if I'm in my room, I can plug this gadget into the wall and I can fill my cup with bottled water.
Okay.
Put my coffee packet in and then heat, like, just zap it. Just heat it up. I'm hoping it works.
This sounds like the most first world problem situation I've ever heard of. But I'm proud of you for acknowledging it. And
it's
I still think it has a place here at home, though, too.
I do, too. And that, I mean, it just goes to show there, you know, I've barely thought about packing anything else, but that is like top on the list.
That's amazing.
I don't know. I should not. I'm not proud. But anyway, so
that's Mama Bears. Yeah. In case we aren't clear, you click the banner ad on our website and it takes you straight to Amazon. You buy whatever you need from Amazon. It does not cost you anything extra. Amazon is just really, really great, and they just basically donate a little bit of their profits to podcasts they believe in, and they believe in the Mama Bear Dares. So woo-hoo. Make that part of your routine, is to come to our website first, then click on our banner ad and head to Amazon.
Also, Tessie,
yeah,
we have more sponsorship news.
I know.
Things are getting real here. Do you want to talk about this?
Yeah, today's episode is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audible.com/mamabeardares. I personally recommend Girl on the Train, a novel. You will not see the ending coming. What about you, Leslie?
Well, for your free audiobook download, I would say if you haven't already read Sheryl Sandberg's book, Lean In, then grab that one because it's really, really good. It'll definitely inspire you, and I think you'll really enjoy hearing her story.
Yes, so head to audible.com/mamabeardares, get that free audiobook download and 30-day free trial. Thanks, Audible. On to the show!
Today, we are discussing the very fraught topic of mommy guilt. It is real, it is huge, and we are going to tackle it today. So last week, we asked our Mama Bear community what they think when they hear mommy guilt, and we received some really great feedback. So we're going to be reading some of that feedback today, and we will also be introducing a few new segments that we think you will get down with. Tessie, why don't you describe the first segment? Because when you first sent it to me, I realized that I'm just not as with it, they would say, as you, because it really threw me for a bit of a loop.
I will admit that I haven't been with it since the probably early 90s, so this does harken back to a time now gone. But we're calling one segment, repping the MBC on the MBD, which stands for Reppin' Stays the Same, Reppin' the Mama Bear Community on the Mama Bear Dares.
That is amazing. Thank you for the clarification.
You're welcome.
I was like, reppin' the MBC. What is she talking about? So that, I think it's great, actually, now that I understand it, and especially the way you said it, like, repping the MBC okay. on the MBD.
Yeah, you just needed to hear my enunciation.
Yeah, okay. For sure, all for right. sure. Okay, so we're gonna rep the MBC on the MBD. But first, Tessie, let's talk about
I think you just did an SNL skit on my segment title.
Might be true. I don't know. But we are going to get real and get serious here. And we're going to talk about your experience with mommy guilt. And then we'll talk about my experience with mommy guilt. But tell us, Tessie, I mean, we all feel this way, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. As I was thinking about this podcast and as I was hearing from a lot of our mama bears, both on our social media and in email, I was struck by the fact that somehow I have gotten to a point where I really don't feel much mommy guilt. And here's why. I think too much is expected of moms today. And I think for whatever reason, I am able to step back and see that as just a total fallacy. I mean, we're supposed to be like a playmate to the child, a playdate organizer, the head parent in classroom, a chauffeur, a five-star chef. We're supposed to make everything from scratch, organic, no BPA, sulfates. I mean, it will drive a person crazy. And if you're not doing any one of these things, you tend to feel guilt about it, right? Because our society is so good about telling you that you're giving your kids cancer or whatever it is.
Right.
I don't know if it's because I studied communications in college and was kind of inundated with how marketing messages can affect really your brain and your everyday lifestyle. And then obviously I work in the field of marketing, as do you. And so you're constantly thinking about really how to manipulate the consumer. And that sounds bad. Manipulate has a bad connotation to it. And so maybe that's why I'm able to step out of it and just be like, I am done with this rat race. What about you? Like, what do you feel?
Yeah, well, it's definitely something that I struggle with every single day. Like, I feel guilty constantly.
Really?
I really do. Like, even just this morning, I've been setting my alarm for 5:30 to try to get up and have some quiet time. I love to read Mary Oliver in the morning. I might say a rosary or do something like that. But it's hard to get up in the morning. And so my alarm went off at 5:30. I pushed snooze or I must have turned it off, because then I didn't wake up until 6:30. And I recognized the second my eyes popped open, I already felt bad about my day. Like, I already was like, oh, what's wrong with you? You didn't get up and, you know, have your quiet time like you were supposed to. And so when we're talking about guilt and mommy guilt, I realized today that, gosh, it's infiltrated my life a little more than I even probably realized. I have always struggled with working and not working, in front of the kids, not in front of the kids. And that has just, you know, for years been my struggle. And I don't know why necessarily. So I love my work, and I do feel that work is honorable. And I want my kids to see me working hard. I value that. But there's always this part of me that's torn a little bit, that's like, oh, this time that I'm spending, maybe because I'm just like enjoying myself so much, I don't know, like it makes me feel like in some ways I shouldn't be doing it, and then I should be sitting on the floor playing, you know, with my kids instead. I'm not sure. I don't know what it is, but it's definitely something that I wouldn't say consumes me, but when I really start to think about it, I have definitely allowed that kind of thinking to come, that paradigm of thought to enter my mind, and where I'm just used to being like, I'm doing this, but ooh, I should be doing this. Mm. Or it's just a thought that it happens way too often.
It was very clear hearing from our mama bears that you are not alone in that, because mm-hmm. the array of things that people were feeling guilty about was so wide as well. And I wonder too, if we would have as much guilt if there wasn't a phrase like mommy guilt, because I know my husband well enough to know that he does have some guilt as well, but there is no such kind of moniker called mm-hmm. daddy guilt. There's none of that. And so mm-hmm. I think he's able to release it a little more and just in his head be like, I'll do better, but not dwell on that. And for whatever reason, I feel like there's some pressure to also dwell on it as moms mm-hmm. and not just let it go.
Right. And I think we see images and hear stories of people who do seem to be doing everything so well that then we feel like let's say we're a working mom, we feel bad about that. We feel mm-hmm. like we should be doing something else. Or if we're a stay-at-home mom, then we feel like we should be working. And that's something that is blasted to us through the internet and through marketing, these marketing messages. It doesn't really touch on the dads.
It's true. The biggest thing I think, like hearing you as someone I love say that you deal with it, I think I would just want you to know that, like, you're an amazing mom. You know, you're an amazing woman. I'm so proud to be in ranks with you. And for the people that I knew that commented, I didn't know all of them. I was telling him, like, you're doing a great job. There's still room in your day to find the stuff that you're talking about wanting to find, if mm-hmm. that's important to you. If it's not important to you, stop worrying about it, you know? Mm-hmm. 'Cause I think that's the biggest thing. It's not important to me to do crafts with my kids. So I don't look on Pinterest on someone doing crafts with their kids and think, God, I should be doing that. Because I know that's not important to me. I see it as a value and I love that there's people doing it. But I think there takes some internal reflection in establishing what you honestly want to carve out for you as a person. Mm-hmm. And then prioritizing that and letting the rest go.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good segue into the first comment here that we wanted to
Did you want to
bring.
Say the segment name, though?
Yeah, I probably should. You know, the first comment that we have on the rep in the MBC on the MBD. How was that?
So good. That was so good. One of our mama bears on Facebook, Sarah, had a really great comment. She said she had to stop going on Pinterest and block Facebook mamas who she felt like bragged about their kids' accomplishments all the time. She said something I just genuinely love. She said she had to guard her joy. So in her instance, her mommy guilt was more about what she felt like she wasn't doing compared to other moms. Guard your joy. I mean, that's so... so great. But Leslie, you want to take this one? How can we help Sarah, if at all?
Yeah, so I love, like you, the phrase, guard your joy. And it makes me think of all of the times I've heard, you know, you got to guard your heart. And when people talk about guarding your heart, they're really talking about, you know, keeping the good things in, not letting the bad things kind of infiltrate you. So that might be, you know, controlling the media that surrounds you. I know I am a very sensitive consumer of media. If I go to a movie that's sort of disturbing in some way, or if I am reading a novel that's a little disturbing, like it affects everything. It's something that just kind of I embody and I take on the emotions and the feelings. And so when I guard my heart, I make a very conscious effort to not let those influences in. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering, you know, Sarah's really onto something. When she talks about guarding her joy, she sometimes has to unfriend people on Facebook, or she might have to just block them out, or maybe not go on Pinterest every once in a while. I think there are seasons for this where sometimes we're just not feeling good enough about ourselves, or maybe we just don't quite fully understand our priorities and we haven't taken stock in our own values. And so we need periods of quiet where we can let ourselves sort those things out. And that's when you have to turn off the other influences. So I think she's on the right track. There are seasons where we really, in order to guard our joy, we have to just turn off some of the noise.
Yeah.
But there are, too, then, other seasons where we're able to celebrate what other people are doing, and that when we see a mama on Facebook celebrating a child's accomplishment, that doesn't necessarily bring up the comparison, but it brings out the celebration. So, you know, that's kind of the goal, I think, is that when we're scrolling through Facebook or that we're scrolling through Pinterest, that it's not damaging to our joy, that it's something that actually can add to our joy, that we can think, wow, there's really great things happening in this world that we all inhabit. This makes me think of something that I talk to my kids a lot about. When I give a compliment to one child, like if I say, hey, great job, that your voice is getting great. You sounded really great when you were singing that. The other one will have like this response that's like, oh, well, you don't like my voice? Mm-hmm. Or wait, you mean I can't throw like that? And again, it's that kind of root of comparison and sort of that like jealousy that takes over. And I'm always telling them, and I would say this to anyone else too, it's not that one person has to be better than another person. It's that there's room in this world for really, really great things, yeah, and there's room for more great things. So the talent that we see coming across on Pinterest, or the talent that we see other people's kids exhibiting on Facebook, like that's a little bit of talent, but guess what? There's room for more talent. Mm-hmm. So I just would encourage Sarah and anyone else and myself, because I fall into this trap constantly as well, to kind of switch that conversation in your head from comparison to celebration and just know that what's beautiful about this world, I believe at the end of the day, there's room for love, there's room for talent, there's room for joy. And then guess what? There's room for more love and more talent mm-hmm. and more joy.
That's so good, sister.
Thanks. Right, so we heard from another mama bear named Anne, and here's Anne's comment. And Tessie, I think I can't wait to dig into this one. So Anne says, "You have so many great women on your show, and I love them all, but it makes me feel like a slug. Ha! What I'd like to hear is how to shake off that feeling of guilt put onto us by ourselves. When our kids don't act like they should or are a disappointment to us and others, I feel personally responsible always. But when they are amazing and make my heart want to burst, do I take credit for that? Never. Can you talk about that? Because sometimes I feel like my own worst judge, and that makes me a less efficient and loving mother." So, first of all, thank you for this comment, Anne. And speaking on behalf of all of our guests, I can assure you that every one of us struggles with this and that they want you to know they struggle with this. I think, Tessie, I'm sure you'll agree that almost everyone we've asked to be on this show says something like, "What? Me? Why? Like, you're crazy. I don't have anything to offer. Like, why mm-hmm. would you want to talk to me?" And then we have these amazing and fascinating conversations. So we're all in this together. But do you want to maybe offer some encouragement or some wisdom?
Yeah. You know, I don't know if this comes a little bit with just parenting older kids. I also don't know if it comes with having adopted kids who we adopted when they're older, so they kind of had already shaped some of their personality. But I genuinely believe, and this may be like totally against what some of our mama bears think, but I really don't think we should take credit for our kids' failings or accomplishments. Even if we taught them to use manners or to clean up after themselves at a friend's house, they still choose to use them. So the older my kids get, the more I realize I actually don't have any control at all. I have a lot of influence, and there's a huge difference there, right? So that's why, you know, growing up without moms or dads or something, sometimes we feel that loss because there's a loss of that specific influence. But I think too often we as parents see that as control. And one of the most visible ways, I think, maybe might be in sports. You know, when a kid does this accomplishment, sometimes you can see the parents and it almost looks like the parent accomplished it. And to me, that's one way of just showing that maybe that parent feels a little bit responsible for that, when in the end, it was that kid in that batter's box choosing to use what he's learned. You know, you have mm-hmm. nothing to do with it, right? So I just try to roll with everything, knowing their lives aren't a mirror reflecting back on me or on my parenting, but on them and their little individual personalities. And Anne, I think you can agree with me, we have far too many judges in the world. So that is not one role that we as moms need to inhabit. Like, we just don't need that at all for ourselves, for our friends, for other moms in Target with the screaming kid. Like, we don't judge them because we've mm-hmm. all been there. So I think I like to try really hard to be a nurturer instead. And of course, this takes time, and it takes a daily practice of when you feel yourself judging your actions, your kids' actions, another kid's actions, just take a step back internally and find a moment to nurture something instead. If your kid just had this screaming fit and was totally disrespectful, take a step back. Get your ego out of it. We have way too much ego in parenting, I think. So take your ego out and just like look at them as a human, because they were built. You obviously might have had something to do with their building, but but then they're shaped by other things other than you as well. So just accept your place as an influencer and as a nurturer, and try really, really hard to let the judgment go.
Yeah, I love that. And back to what you were saying earlier, Tessie, the way you were talking to me about my mommy guilt, you know, it's so easy for me to read this comment by Anne and be like, Anne, you are an amazing parent. Like, right. You're doing a great job. And yet it's so hard for me to say that to myself. Mm-hmm. And so I think if Anne and I both can just talk to ourselves the way that we're talking to a friend, we're all going to be better off. You know, a lot of times we're told to like see the good in everyone, and see, you know, if you see someone homeless on the street, you know, like that's Jesus or whatever faith it is that you're brought up in. But you know, it's harder to remember that, like, that's you too. Like that love with, you know, that's inside you as well.
Yeah. And one trick I do when one of my kids is doing something that I would never choose for them or never hope for them is that's actually when I tell myself that I'm a good mom. I take the moments when normally the world would be like, what is wrong with you, mom? Like, get your crap together. That's when I'm like, good job, mom. They're alive right now, mom. Continue on. And so sometimes maybe do that. Like, and part of that is really just to get me out of my own head. But it might help you. It certainly has helped me. Kelly struggles with fitting in a workout in her day. She said she finds it impossible to find time even for a workout in her day because of mommy guilt. So when she's not working, she feels like she has to be with her kids. Leslie, I know on Sarah's podcast, you mentioned that you love running and it's important to you. So how do you quiet the mommy guilt for enough time to go for a run?
Well, I can definitely, once again, relate to Kelly, but I remember early on in my mothering years, my friend Lindsay got a part-time job. Actually, she worked 10 hours a week at Starbucks. And I know this doesn't really have anything to do with exercise, but Lindsay taught me that she could be a better mom if she took time for herself. So I felt like it was really brave of her to take this job 10 hours a week. Someone else, you know, she was responsible for someone else other than her children. She was out in the world doing her thing, and she would say week after week, I come back and I'm a better mom because of those 10 hours that I leave my kids and I do my own thing. And I really believed her. So for me, I feel that working out is a situation in our family in which everyone wins. Mm. So I've always incorporated my running into my life because I'm better when I come back, and so are the kids. And the kids get to reap that benefit of having a happier and healthier mom. I think I just really trusted myself that I needed that time. And, you know, it was running for me. It was also, you know, just going to the coffee shop to sit, or just like looking through a magazine while the kids were in the bath. Like, whatever it was, I trusted that I needed that time for myself. Of course, there's lots of health reasons too why running is a great way to use that time for yourself. And I know, Tessie, you could talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, Kelly, I just want to first say that I hope any mama bears also struggling with this understand that you don't have to run. You don't have to join a gym. You don't have to do any of that. But it's so important to make time even for a walk. Mm-hmm. I know that moving your body reaps actual physiological benefits. So I can't stress enough that it doesn't have to be what Leslie and I like or what your friends like. But if you walk, that has proven to lower so many risk factors for heart disease, stroke, all of it. So might I just encourage you to start there, right? Just a few minutes. And if your mommy guilt is really terrible on one day, guess what? That's one place you can take the kids. Take mm-hmm. them on the walk, especially as it gets nice. But I also want to, and I'm going to try to tread lightly on this because I don't want people to feel guilty about it. But I think the number one reason moms don't work out is because of that, because they feel guilty for taking that time out for themselves. But if you are thinking of your kids, this statistic is true. The number one risk for obesity in children is an overweight or obese parent. Obviously, this is not meant to guilt parents. It's merely to show that our health as parents is directly linked to our child's health. And if you can't worry about your own health because you're worried about your kids or your spouse or your partner, then worry about your kids or your spouse or your partner and get healthy so that they can see you as an example mm-hmm. and so that they want to do it too. And often if you choose this healthier lifestyle, and again, I can't stress enough that I am talking about just walking. If you can incorporate that into your day, even if it's walking around the house, I really don't care if the weather is bad. If you can incorporate that into your day, I guarantee you will also see that it motivates you to provide healthier nutrition for your kid. And it also will stimulate a lifelong engagement with physical activity for your kids. Kelly, if that's what you need to hear, that actually you taking time out does show in every statistic possible that it helps your child, there you go. That's your reason. And so when you start to feel guilty, that's what you tell yourself. You know what? Actually, this is for my kids too.
So we've established that mommy guilt is real. It's something that many people deal with. So let's give our listeners some ideas about how to ditch mommy guilt for good, because I don't need it in my life. I want it away. So let's talk
yes.
about it.
Okay. One of the things I noticed when you were talking about your experience with mm-hmm. mommy guilt is you said when you did not wake up today, your first thought in your head was, what's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that, Leslie, is shame and not guilt. And you know, because you are
there
also an
difference.
Avid Brene Brown fan, that
yes.
there is a
yes.
huge, huge difference. So Mama mm-hmm. Bears, guilt can be healthy and useful. It reminds you of your priorities, etc. So what I mean by that is if you did something to someone that you should not have done, guilt can be healthy there. It can propel you to apologize and to move on and to not make the same mistake. Shame mm-hmm. is not helpful or healthy. So it's a difference in saying, whoops, I was just a bad mom right then after like a yelling bout or something like that. But if you're more prone to say, I'm a bad mom, that's a statement on who you are, and that is shame. So mm-hmm. mommy guilt, if you really did something that you can do better next time, that's okay. But you also let that go. If you find yourself dwelling on it and calling yourself names about who you are, about actual identity issues, that's shame. And there's nothing healthy about that. So if, like, my number one thing for you guys to do is to read all of Brené Brown's books. I think they would help you so, so much in starting to heal from the mommy, let's call it what it is, mommy shame. Don't you think,
yeah.
Leslie?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I have read all of those books. Clearly still struggle.
Life is a journey, baby.
You know what? I'm going to keep trying. Good. I am going to
yes.
keep trying, because those are yucky feelings. That's really not how I want to live my life. And so, yeah, I think that those are terrific books. I think that just talking about shame, you know, it's so much more uncomfortable than talking about guilt. There really is kind of the stigma almost, like, oh, I'm not a shameful person. Like,
right.
But you know, you're right. Like, that first thought this morning wasn't one of guilt. It was one of deep shame. And so it's something that I want to keep working on for sure. And I hope that my mama bears will work on it with me.
So Speaking of let it go, I think that's another big priority. Another great way to let go of the mommy guilt slash shame is to just let some things go. We cannot do it all. We were never made to do it all. Our generation has been told that they have to do more things as moms than any other generation. I remember my mom kicking us outside, and we spent the entire day there. I don't know if she locked the door, but I'm pretty sure she did, and I do not blame her for it. Look, I turned out okay. So
you did.
I'm
more than okay,
I should say.
Miss Tessie. More than okay.
Thanks. But so moms, like, let some of it go. We cannot be all and do it all. So that's another example probably of finding what you value. But the focus there is to let go on what, oh God, I really don't care about that. All right, that's fine.
Exactly. Another tip for ditching mommy guilt for good is to recognize that parenting is not a competitive sport.
Do you hear the slow clap?
Claps. That's right. It is not a competitive sport. We are on the same team. We are trying to raise up a society of good, literate, competent people. You know, we're in it together. It's not who's better than who or who is doing a better job as a parent, as a mom. It's we're all one big community, just trying to do the best we can.
Yeah, and mamas, can I just say, even if there are other mamas who make parenting a competitive sport, you do not have to enter the game. We have all seen those mamas who want to draw you into the competitive sport activity that they think parenting is. You don't have to enter. Like, that's a hard pass for me. I do not enter that game. So you don't have to either. Like, understand that you have control over that. And just, hard pass, no thanks. I think sometimes we forget that parenting is enjoyable, and I like to prioritize the enjoyment of the parenting experience and not prioritize making enjoyment for my child. Kids are actually really good at making life fun for themselves. They don't need a lot of parental, like, infiltration to make life fun. So I try to prioritize the enjoyment of the parenting experience as a whole and not put so much pressure to just be the enjoyment or provide the enjoyment for my child.
That's terrific. And finally, if you're struggling with feelings of mommy guilt, then try setting aside some specific time just for the family to be together. You'll kind of check that box in your mental checklist there of just like, okay, you know what? I'm devoting some time here. I'm putting in some fun and some energy. And when you are doubting yourself, when you're feeling that mommy guilt creep in, just remember, hey, just yesterday we had a really fun game night, or we took a really great hike, and it was, we were all in, we were all concentrating on one another, and it made for a great experience.
Love that.
Let's finish, Tessie, with our last segment. I think I can say this.
Bring it home.
Without, like, rapping.
Okay.
So let's just make a quick list here of things that we should probably feel guilty about, but we actually don't.
Yeah, Mama Bears, we want to hear your list on this because we want to celebrate those things too. So I, at least twice a week, don't make dinner. I call it something fun, like it's a make your own. And I actually sing it like that every time when they ask me what's for dinner. And they make their own dinner, and I don't make it for them. Don't feel guilty about it.
Good for you. So I pay my children to practice the piano.
Yeah,
do
you
I feel
do.
Guilty about it?
No,
I don't.
You don't.
I don't feel guilty.
No, you don't. I just received an amazing package in the mail from my friend Kathy with delicious granola that I'm not going to share with anybody. Should I feel guilty about it? Probably. Do I? No.
Last week, we started baseball season. My husband was out of town, and we drove through Culver's two nights in a row.
Get it.
Does that hurt, like, every fiber of your being?
A little bit. Like, it's fine.
A little bit.
They actually butter their bread, but it's fine. I should probably feel guilty about the fact that I had to teach three classes this morning and did not have time to shower before taping this podcast, and I'm just laying on our bed on Zach's side.
It's totally fine. Totally fine.
Totally fine.
Hey, my kids have no idea how to read before they go to kindergarten, and actually one is in kindergarten and doesn't know how to read, and I don't feel guilty about it.
You shouldn't. You know what else I should feel guilty about, but don't? I don't do homework. I am not a lady who gets on her elbows and goes head to head with their kids. Like, kid, you were in class today. You should know how to do this homework. I don't remember. It's been 20 years.
Yeah, you already did your homework.
Yeah.
I sometimes drink wine in a coffee cup between the hours of 4 and 5 o'clock. And I usually, I mean, there might be like a spark of like, should I be? Yeah, nope. I don't feel guilty.
Nope. And I wish I could join you. I, Leslie, use a Keurig.
Oh.
I use a Keurig, and I should feel guilty about it because I am a hippie who loves the planet Earth, but I don't feel guilty about it. It's delicious, it's a single serve, and it's brought to me in about 30 seconds.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to judge
that hurt you.
I don't,
that hurt
no
you.
Judgment, and I no judgment. You know what? It's all right. We're all in this together. When my kids were younger, I would give them about 15 minutes a day where I would actively get on the floor and play Legos or dolls or whatever it might be, and then I was done. I never felt guilty. I always enjoyed watching them play. I've never loved getting on the floor and playing, and I think it's okay.
Yeah, something I should feel guilty about, but don't. I actually never did that.
The truth comes out.
Or so rarely that I don't remember, and probably my kids don't either.
Okay. Well, and maybe just to wrap this segment up, I still don't wash my sheets, or
wash
I still
sheets.
Haven't washed my sheets.
Wash your sheets, yay.
All right, but we've talked a lot about the question really of what guilt kind of comes down to, whether or not we're enough, like whether we're doing enough or being enough for our kids or our spouses or our friends, but ultimately we are enough. The person that we were created to be in this moment with all of the skills and the talent and the heart that we have, we are enough. So let's take a minute, Tessie, to think about not what we're not doing, but when have you been killing it lately? Let's celebrate that.
Oh, okay. You know, I have a teenager in the house, and that teenager has a phone. We did not get him a phone until he was almost 13. That was just kind of our deal. We didn't want to have him have it too young. And so obviously there's new rules. There's all of that that we're still trying to figure it out. But, you know, he got caught using it when he wasn't supposed to be. And so we took it from him. And I feel like our conversation after that was really, really good and really, really healthy. And so I felt like, okay, I got this.
Good. That's fantastic. Yeah. You are killing it. Good job.
What about you?
Well, I was thinking about that this morning after I got over the shame of not waking up when I wanted to. I found myself administering, let's call it administering, the morning routine. So my oldest gets up, he makes his own breakfast, the younger two come down a little bit later, and might ask for something. They'll probably pour their orange juice while I pop some toast in the toaster. And I just felt like it was a dance. Mm. Like, I felt like, you know, I was to this counter and then to the coffee pot and then to this counter and then the table and then the, you know, just everything was flowing together. And in that moment, I was like, if I were looking at our kitchen, at our family from the heavens, it's a beautiful sight. I felt like I was killing it this morning with my breakfast dance. It felt good.
I like the breakfast dance. Good job. So, Mama Bears, we know that being a mother is one of the most intensely emotional jobs in the world. We dare you constantly be awake to the ways in which you respond to your children and take the time to understand yourself. Listen to the voice in your head that scolds you when it believes you've fallen short. Listen to it and then silence it. Work towards changing your thought patterns from those of comparison to those of joy, and from those of guilt to those of empathy. Forgive yourself when you fall short, and when you do, make the necessary changes for tomorrow. When you do something amazing, even if it's tiny, congratulate yourself on a moment well spent and a job well done. But mostly, Mama Bears, call Mama Guilt what it is: a distraction, a menace, and a thief of joy. We all struggle with it, but we know that with the support of a community and the insistence on positivity, we can overcome. We've got what it takes to be exactly the people we were meant to be. So let's start living and loving now together, Mama Bears.
Love it. Love it. Thank you so much for your comments online. Remember to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, because we will be posting more questions for you to answer. Also, be sure to rate us or review us on iTunes. So many of you had told us that you can't quite figure out how to do this on iTunes, and we understand it's a little bit complex. So we're going to go ahead and list step-by-step instructions on the show notes, and this will give you kind of the tools you need to rate and review us on iTunes. So please go there and please complete that task. It really does help us.
Yes.
And I have one more comment, Tessie.
You told me that you have a secret comment. I've been so excited.
Secret comment. I am taking our own advice. Remember a couple episodes back when we talked about never withholding a compliment?
Yeah.
And I just have to compliment you and tell you thank you so much for all of the work that you're putting into this podcast, because you are just killing it. It's like you were just made for this, and it's so much fun to see you doing it, see your just wheels turning all the time, and then your execution is amazing, and I'm just so thankful. I can't believe that I get to work with you and to watch you just come to life and bring this podcast to life. And it has been so much fun. We're what, like a month and a week in, but it's just been amazing. And I just want everyone to know just how much time and talent you're putting into this podcast and how much I appreciate it and how much I'm sure our listeners do too. So thank you, sister, for that.
This is actually the sixth time I've cried taping the podcast, but our Mama Bears might not know I do cry a lot. Thank you so much.
Do.
And you are too. I don't want that. I don't want to like trade compliments, but just understand Mama Bears that she's killing it as well. So thank you so much. That is so sweet of you.
Well, thank you. And I feel though that you're kind of deflecting this compliment.
I was trying not to. I'm taking it in.
Okay.
It's been a true honor to serve with you, sister.
America. It's been wonderful. Okay.
Oh, Mama Bears. Did you feel that love? I feel like, can you feel? You guys, have an awesome week. We love you.
Have a great week, Mama Bears. I feel like that could actually be a medley. Like, we could do a Disney medley of or like a duet with alternating lines from different musicals.
Yeah, just really prove how white we are.
Basically. Oh, man.